I love that song. I enjoyed that song. Appreciate the worship team. Do I spit when I preach? I mean, you know, Gallagher always had, I mean, maybe I got to give you a plastic tarp when you come in so you'll sit in the front. You know, I don't know. I come out and it's like, where's everybody at? You know, how far back can you sit? I'm glad we don't have any more rows. You guys would probably be out the front door. Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to tell you, God is so good. I'm glad to see you. I want you guys to know I love the church. I love you guys. This is a great day. God's doing some great things, and I just appreciate you being here, being a part of what God's doing. But if you're like me, I'm excited about this next week because I had a garbage week. Anybody have a garbage week besides me? You know, I walk out here every Sunday. You hear me say this, right? Have a great week because I'm going to, right? Well, let me tell you what. It was not a great week. All right, I'm going to get into it as I go through the message, you know, but it kind of fits. I'm going to just jump right into the scripture this morning because it really dwells with, and I kind of look at, maybe this is why God, because see, I set these messages up a long time ago, and then when they pop up, it just seems to fit what's going on in my life, and maybe they're going to fit what's going on in your life this morning, because sometimes life is a mess. Things just don't go the way you envision, the way you hope, the way you want. It's just, life just doesn't go that way. So I'm going to jump right in. Here's a scripture I want us to look at this morning. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and ye shall call his name Emmanuel. The virgin will be, I've never seen a virgin birth, all right? Now, you know, I've had people come up to me and tell me they're pregnant, that they're not married yet, and it's kind of like, okay. Yeah. But they've never told me, well, God did it. I've never heard that. I never heard that. But God has this image here. I want to make sure you get a picture of what's going on. There's going to be a virgin birth. This is like 700 years before Jesus was born. Somewhere around 740 years, God comes to this Isaiah and says, Isaiah, go tell Ahaz, the king, that there's going to be a virgin, and she's going to have a son. And you're going to name him Emmanuel. And he's telling him that God's going to send us a Savior. That God's going to step into our world and provide a way for us to have a wonderful relationship with him. And that God's going to enter our world. And we're going to call him Emmanuel. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. If you remember, we're in this series, and this is the last sermon, we've been looking at the names of God, trying to understand the character and the nature of God by his names. We talked how the Hebrews really were specific with their names. My home group did the book of Hosea. And you want to look at some funny things, or read what Hosea named his children. All right? Go to the book of Hosea. It's the first of the minor prophets. And he calls his kids like this: you are not mine. How'd you like to have the name? You're not mine. I mean, you know, he just names his kids because names were significant to them. And names meant something. And so God is sitting there saying, you're going to name him Emmanuel. So I want to look at, what does that name Emmanuel mean? And so I turn to the new, you know, just so you know, the best commentary, the best teaching on the Bible is the Bible. I'll just give you a hint. When you run across a verse that's hard to understand, read some more of the Bible. It will explain it. And so we see this name Emmanuel. I'm going to jump into the New Testament. This is the Gospel of Matthew. And Matthew says what the name means. He goes this. He's quoting from Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that's what I want us to talk about. If we look at God's name, here's what I want us to think about this morning. I want you to think that God is with us. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you're in church and you go, well, I expect that. You're in church. Where else do you expect to meet God? But here's what I want you to understand. God is with you when you're home. God is with you when you're at work. God is with you when you're at school. I remember as a teenager, they would tell me, I'd become a Christian at 17. They would say, when you're thinking about going someplace, would you take Jesus there? Now, I'm kind of a smart aleck kid. My comment was, well, he's already there. Because God's everywhere. He's already there. I mean, you know. And that's, just, you know, I was just kind of a smart aleck kid. You guys sure don't believe that, but I was. You know. But wherever you're at, God is there. Wherever you're doing, God is there. Whether you're sitting in a lazy boy at the house or you're traveling down the freeway, God is there. God is wherever you're at. Whether it's a good day or a bad day, God is there. And we need to understand this, that God is there in our lives. Whether it's a day when we really feel healthy or a day when we just feel like hugging the porcelain bowl. You know, God's there. And so that's why I want to make sure what we're seeing here is a picture of what God is sitting here saying. That Emmanuel is with us. That God is with us. And here's the picture I want to make sure you get. That here this morning, wherever you're at, the presence of God is real. It's true. And we usually wait to talk about this name Emmanuel till Christmas. It was kind of fun that Linda picked this Christmas song, and some have already talked. I got my Christmas tie on, you know, because it's somebody read this week that Christmas is only so many Fridays away, you know. But I do want you to know I got a little picture here of how far Christmas is, and I want you to kind of get a glimpse of that. There's Emmanuel, God with us. And I give you a little countdown here. Don't you like Christmas? You got 122 days, 12 hours, 59 minutes, and 27 seconds. Are you ready for Christmas? Yeah. It's coming. But why do we have to wait for Christmas to talk about God with us? You know, why do we wait to talk about the presence of God in our midst until Christmas? And I want to make sure we get it back up and we go, you know what? God is here today. God is in this place today. God is in my home today. God will be in my car when I walk out and get in my car today. God will be around that dinner table today. God will be with me in the morning when that alarm clock goes off. God is there. I want to make sure we get this picture of God's presence. Because sometimes when you have a week like I had, it's like, where's God? Anybody? You get a week that it's just, what's going on? But God entered our world. I want you to have this picture. Think about this. That God created this beautiful world. He created a place that we call a Garden of Eden. When I mention Garden of Eden, do you guys get a beautiful picture? Don't you get kind of an awesome picture when you hear the word Garden of Eden? You know? And God created this beautiful place, and he puts a man and a woman, Adam and Eve, in the midst of that garden. He says, listen, this is your place. This is yours. All the beauty. I just ask one thing from you. Don't mess with that tree over there. I just got one simple request. Don't mess with that tree. Anybody raise kids? When you tell a child, don't touch that, what are they going to do? We never grow up. Yeah. They went over and, you know, ate of that tree that God asked them not to eat of. And it began this pendulum swing. And this pendulum swings back and forth. You know, God blesses and God has compassion. And then we rebel. We do our own thing and it swings over here and then we got to face the consequences. We got to pay the price. You know, how's that old saying? You got to pay the piper? Isn't that how that old saying used to go? Some of the younger ones are going, I don't know what that means. You know, it means you're in trouble. Yeah. And this pendulum swings back, and it swung back and forth, and back and forth. And you read the Old Testament, you can see God stepping in. He sent a prophet after prophet. They would swing over here, and God's blessing. And then they would do their own thing, and the consequences would fall upon them, and God would send a prophet. And things would get better, and they would swing back over here, and God's blessing and God's compassion. And then they would rebel, and they'd go back over here. You can just read that. You know, there's Isaiah and Jeremiah and Amos and Hosea and Micah and Obadiah. And you can just see it, boom, boom, just back and forth it went. And then God says, wait a minute, I've had enough. I've had enough of this game. I'm done with this game. I'm going to send my son, my one and only son. His name is Emmanuel, and he will be with my people. See, God changed that. Christmas changed everything. It went from a God who was here and gone to a God who dwells here. Now, when I say God is with us, you know, Jesus isn't here. I remember one of my professors at college would kind of say, why does Jesus need to come back if he's here? You know, well, yeah, he's here, but he's going to come back physically. But when Jesus left, and I've heard people say, well, Jesus isn't here. He left. He ascended, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? Anybody? Yeah. But when he ascended, he had these words. I got another verse here I wanted you to look at with me. Yeah, I hope you get your notes out and you just kind of follow along. You might want to circle some words because I think there's some important words in this verse. It says, I, Jesus, will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. I want you to circle that word another. Because that word another means one just like. God's going to send you another one just like me. My presence won't be here, but God's presence will be here in another. There will be another coming along that will be like me. He's a helper who will stay with you forever. Circle that one. Forever. Like I say, you read the Old Testament, just to give you a little picture. In the Old Testament, God would come and God would leave, but he was always there. But he would come and leave. You'd read the Holy Spirit would come and he would leave. He would fall upon Moses and he would leave. He'd fall upon Isaiah and he would leave. And you could read the scriptures and see that. But when Jesus ascended into heaven, God says, I'm changing. I'm tired of this pendulum. I'm tired of this back and forth. I'm going to come and I'm going to stay. I'm going to be with you forever. He's the Spirit who reveals the truth about God. The world cannot receive him because it cannot see him or know him. But you know him. I circled that one. You know him. You know him. Because he remains with you and is in you. Emmanuel. God with us is not just with us, he's in us. And that's the picture he's painting here. When I go, when I go, you will not be left alone. I will come back to you. See, Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit until I come back. There'll be a day when I come back. Now, you can read all sorts of prophets. You got all sorts of people telling you when he's come back. I don't know. I know one thing. He's kept all his promises so far. I count on the next one, too. You know, he's faithful. But God is saying, I'm with you. I'm Emmanuel. God is with us. I want to make sure you get the God is with us. He's here. He's in your house. He's with you when you're in the hospital. He's with you wherever you're at. If you're laying that lazy boy, when you're sitting around that dining room table, he's with you. And we need to see this picture. Now, I just kind of want to make another note of something as I think about Christmas. Because I was kind of confused. How do you spell Emmanuel? Anybody? Do you spell it with an I or do you spell it with an E? I've seen churches spell Emmanuel with an I and I've seen churches spell Emmanuel with an E. You ever wonder about that? Anybody besides me? I can't spell anyway, so I just thought it was a spelling mistake. Yeah. What I found out was this. The Hebrew word for God with us, Emmanuel, starts with the I. The Greek word Emmanuel, God with us, it starts with the letter E. I didn't know that. I learned something this week. I only went through college. I only went and got a doctorate degree, and I'm still learning. Yeah. But God is with us. Whether you spell it with an I or an E, God is with us. He's in our presence. But what does that mean, that God is with us? What is it? What does that mean that God is with us? How does that play out in my daily life? How does that work in the midst of my life? That God is with us. Now, there's a lot of things I could talk about God being with us that God does. But I'm going to boil it down to two that maybe most of them could fit in one of these two categories. But I want to say, but here's what God can do. And so here, if you got your outline, I put it this way. God with us, he comforts the afflicted. He comforts the afflicted. Anybody been afflicted? Has everybody got just a life of roses right now? You know, you guys, you know, you couldn't ask for better life, man. Things are just perfect, right? You guys are just cruising right along in a little perfect world, right? Yeah. We all have battles. Life is tough. But what he's saying here, when you're afflicted, I am with you. Look at what the scripture says. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. He's the Father of compassion. He's the Father of compassion who comforts us. But not only does it end with us, that allows us to comfort one another. And that's my goal this morning. My goal this morning is God comforts you and God comforts me, and I want to share how God can comfort you this morning. I want you to experience that comfort that God has this morning. Maybe you had a week like mine. And it's not just a week. You know, when things got, maybe you're like me. When things start going bad, they kind of snowball. Yeah. When things start getting tough, it kind of looks like you don't always see the things going on now, but it brings back all the other stuff. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And it brings back all that other stuff. This week, just to kind of give you a picture, Amanda and Donald moved. Some of you watch Facebook and all of that or know my daughter. Amanda and Donald moved, took my grandkids with them. It wouldn't be bad if they left. They had left the grandkids, been okay. You know, but they move. All right, that was our last children and our grandkids in our home and around us, even though they just lived down the street, you know. But it brought back all these feelings. See, a little over a year ago, Jenny and Tommy moved and took our grandkids. Yeah, you guys are my kids. You steal my ice cream and everything else over here. These two over here, they steal my ice cream in my freezer here at church. They're like my kids. I'm trying to get one of them to go to Disneyland with me. But I'm trying to get mom and dad to pay for it for her. They're shit. I'm trying for you. I bought my grandkids their annual passes. I ain't buying yours, though. But then, you know, Jenny and Tommy move. And we go see Jeremiah. He's in you know, Kentucky getting ready to go to Alaska. So we get to see our grandkids. And he's in Alaska. You know, and it's like, you know. And things just, and you just start thinking about all the stuff that's going on. And all the stuff that's happening, you know, and I start reflecting back, and it's like Laura's dad passed away not long ago. My mom passed away last November. You know? And you start thinking about all these things that's going on. I made notes of this kind of stuff, and just some of those things that we wrestle with and that I wrestle with, and it's kind of like, God, anybody sit down and cry this week besides me? You know, like I say, I stand back there tonight, today, and I'll tell you, have a great week. I'm going to. But it's no guarantee. I do not know how somebody goes through life without God. I don't get it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't have did this week without God. You know? How do you wrestle with these things? And that's why I think this is so important. God comforts the afflicted. When I'm hurting and when I'm down and when things aren't right, when life is tough, God comforts. I put a bunch of lists down here. How about this? Anybody have work worry, school struggles, financial woes, and debt anxiety? Anybody have broken relationships? Or how about the gooey ones? Anybody got any gooey relationships? Yeah. How about health? You know, how about those health issues? Or how about emotional battles? Anybody get into those emotional battles and those that depression and that frustration and that stress that we experience? How do we deal with these things in life? You know, just mental weariness. You know, how do you deal with that? If you're here this morning, I'm asking you, without God, how do you deal with that? How do you deal when life throws you those curveballs? When life kind of takes a baseball bat and slaps you upside the head, how do you deal with that without God? See, I love this picture. God comforts us. God comforts us. Tomorrow, I got a funeral. One of the ladies at school district lost her mother this week. And I'm going to go do a funeral. And the words I have learned, because like I said, my mother passed away. And what I always like to say is this, you know what? I'm just going to share the things that comforted me, like that verse says. I don't have anything else. Here's what God used to comfort me, so here's what I want to share with you. And my hope is that they comfort you. I like that verse. It really says it. But how do people deal? If you're here this morning, I want to ask you, how do you deal with life without God? What do you do with those financial, you know, that debt snowball is just crushing you? You know? What do you do when the doctor calls? I watched that movie, God is Dead. Anybody seen that yet? I watched that movie. What do you do when you walk into that doctor's office and that girl sits there? And that girl sits there and the doctor has and tells her, you got cancer. And you're going to die. And she tells her boyfriend at the table, and he walks off. Anybody seen that? What do you do when you get those phone calls that your brother has just passed away? I've had that. What do you do? How do you deal with life when these things happen? God is with us. Emmanuel. Why wait for Christmas to celebrate Emmanuel? Because God's presence is real. See, life is not always a bed of roses. It's tough and there's issues. I like how God explains it other in Isaiah. Here's another passage in Isaiah that I really, really like. Again, circle some words. Circle words. It's really good. Look at this. As a mother, why don't you put circle mother? As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. You will be comforted in Jerusalem. I like this. God is the father of compassion, and he's the mother of comfort. Doesn't that sound good? The father of compassion and the mother of comfort. So who's going to comfort in the home? Let me ask you something. When you have a child and that child is running down the road and gets a little road rash, right? Wipes out. Jumps up. Looks at the knee. Not saying anything yet. Just looks at the knee and now there's blood. And that's when it starts, right? They haven't cried yet. You know, it's like, okay. Yeah. Who do they run to? Real simple. They're going to run to dad? Suck it up. That's life. There's no blood. There's no blood. Yeah. Who do they run to? They run to mom. Come to mama. Mama, I kiss it and make it all better. Yeah. Uh-huh. Am I right? Yeah. That's the picture God is painting for us. God is sitting there saying, I'm the father of compassion. I've got my arms around you. I got my presence around you. I'm with you. And I'm that mother that's just sitting there picking you up. Yeah. And that's the picture he's painting. How many of you women have done this, okay? Because I've seen this. You're carrying a baby, and the baby has a pacifier, right? A binky, all right? Let's call it what it is. It goes flying out and falls on the ground. You pick it up, you look around, and you see no water fountain, and what do? Put it in your mouth. See, somebody knows. And put it back in the kid's mouth, right? That's the picture God has for us. That's what God is sitting there saying. When life throws this stuff at you, when life throws that troubles and that horrible stuff that life has in it. God is sitting there saying, look it, I'll lick it all off and I'll take care of it. Yeah. Do we get that picture? You know, we roll around to Christmas and we say, Emmanuel, God's with us. We have a big, big party. But do we really understand? That's why I'm glad I'm doing this in August. You know, God is with us. He's here. You know, when that phone call rings that you don't want to take, you know, I can remember sitting at the table. Then I had to walk back to the table and tell my kids that my brother is gone. And one of my kids took it really hard because we always teased her because she was like him, kind of different. You guys probably go, I know which one it is too. Yeah, I know you guys. Yeah. But how do you sit there and you tell them? Yeah. What do you do when you get those bills out of the mailbox and it's like you're sitting there and you're adding things up and it's like, we're in trouble this month. You know, they don't match up. You know, what do you do? What do you do? You know, how do you keep the family together? Anybody wrestle with that? Just keeping the family together? Keeping everybody on the same page and the stress and dynamics of family? Just to bring you some comfort here, I'll give you guys some comfort here. Family's messy. Matter of fact, just so you know, Adam and Eve couldn't do one commandment. They couldn't even keep their kids straight. One kills the other. I mean, even the first family, And go on down. You want to do something? Go on down and read about the families of men of God in the Bible. Killing brothers, raping a sister. It's like, man, at least my family's not that bad. You know? Life is messy. But Emmanuel, visualize God's presence. I want you to visualize God's presence as a father of compassion and a mother of comfort. That you got this image of a God who's not distracted, of a God who's not wandered off, of a God who's not engaged, but you got a picture of a God who does intimately knowledge of you and your heart and your life and the dynamics that's happening. Do you have that picture? A father of compassion and a mother of comfort. God comforts the afflicted. Emmanuel, God with us. But there's a flip side to that. How about this one? God afflicts the comfortable. All right? God afflicts the comfortable. We get comfortable. We get used to life. We get used to things. And life is running along fairly smoothly and we're comfortable. And have you ever said anything like this? Don't rock my boat. Anybody? Don't mess with my world. Everything's really, really good right where I'm at. But I want to tell you, sometimes God's got to step in and he's got to kind of stir things up when we get too comfortable. And so sometimes God afflicts the comfortable. Look at what it says here. Don't think I come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. See, God came to kind of stir things up. You can't just kind of go through life and pretend like, oh, there's no God. Or, well, he's just a loving God. He's going to let everybody slide. You can't go through life on that kind of thinking. He kind of came to stir things up. See, there was a time for me when I didn't want to go to church. I thought church was for the weird. I can remember going to my grandma's house, 12, 13 years old. I'd live with her. We'd go pick pears up in Placerville area. Had a great time. I just loved it. She was a great Christian woman. A little different. But I remember sitting there as a 12, 13-year-old boy, and she had moved up to Placerville, and her friends from her church down in Sacramento, it's Capital Christian, that was Bethel at the time, today, went up to visit her. And I'm sitting there, just a kid sitting in the background. And they visit for a while, and they're getting ready to leave. They all stand up, they hold hands, and I'm just sitting kind of back. And all of a sudden, it's like, okay, what's going on? Now, I wasn't sure about church, and I found out later, that's called tongues. It's like, oh, that's weird. You know, I thought Christians were, because they didn't know how to use the words right. You know, I knew how to string those words together. You know those nice four-letter words? I could string those together really nice. You know, and see, I thought Christians were weird. I was very comfortable in my life. I was having a great life. I was going to be a cop, wrapping up school, senior year in high school, my junior year, wrapping up junior year, getting ready for high school, going to my senior year, getting plans of what I'm going to do and be a cop. I'm going to be the sharpshooter, SWAT team. I was very comfortable with what I had planned for my life. Then my cousins got me going to church. And you walk into church and it's weird for the first time. Anybody walking to church for the first time feel weird? Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's like, See, we get comfortable in our lives, and sometimes God, I'm kind of glad God shook my world up. You know that? I'm kind of glad God roughed up my life there and said, I got a different path for you. I got a different path for you. See, I was very comfortable. And maybe you're here this morning and you're just kind of comfortable. It's like, life's okay. It's going okay. There's no big issues going on in my life. Things are kind of comfortable. And maybe God's kind of shaking your cage up. It's like, yeah, you think it's comfortable, all right. Yeah, you think you got plans. And God kind of shakes those kind of plans up. Kind of like, I don't know. And you feel a little uncomfortable. This even happens to Christians. This even happens to us as Christians. You know, we kind of get comfortable. You know? Especially now. You know, after 15 years of metal chairs, you guys got some nice chairs. It gets comfortable. You know?
It's comfortable. I come Sunday morning. If I'm lucky, I'll get there before the music starts. If not, I'll try to get there at least before the preacher starts. She's laughing at that one, okay? We're comfortable. And then you got a pastor who stands up here and says, get in a small group. Everybody needs to be in a small group. That might shake you up a little bit. I'm comfortable. Life's okay. No, it's not perfect, but it's okay. I'm comfortable. Or you'll see him sitting up here, and you open your, look at the front of your, anybody got a bulletin? Anybody here got a bulletin? It says Awana on it. You see that? And you sit up here, and you hear the pastor, and you hear others that are leading and taking part saying, hey, we need some help in Awanas. Volunteer for Awanas. I'm comfortable. I want to challenge you. Volunteer for Awanas. You don't have to be the leader. Let me tell you what these kids, I don't know a lot about Awanas. I just kind of watched some stuff and kind of got a taste of it. Does anybody here got two ears? Anybody? All right. You got two ears? You can be a part of Awana. Because these kids have to quote scripture to somebody. Am I right? They need somebody to sit there while the other kids play and run over to them so they can quote scripture is what I heard happens. Anybody got two ears? Comfortable. I'm comfortable. I'm not comfortable around kids. Get used to it. The most exciting thing for me, you need to know the most exciting thing for me as pastor of this church is to realize this. When I came, I was one of the youngest ones in this church. Now, I'm not going to go there. What's exciting to me is to see Jacob run VBS, see Emily up here leading worship, to see her excited about Awanas, to see Demira taking care of the gospel mission. That's what's exciting, to see these, April's got our children's nursery. To see all of you who volunteer for children. Maybe you don't want to work with Awanas, I'm going to give you another one. How about children's church? I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like these kids. Who worked VBS? How many had fun in VBS with the kids? Anybody? Oh, yeah, look at that. There's nothing like it. I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable. Oh, we're going to have a Christmas program. It's hard getting in front of people. Those who know my story, I hated to get in front of people. My first message, now you guys are going to like this, but I didn't. My first message, I had worked it out. It was a 20-minute message. Wouldn't you guys like that again? 20 minutes, I had it all outlined. I got up, I was done in less than 10. Now you guys need to like that one better, right? I hated to get in front of people. Now I don't care. I can't spell, but at least I know how to spell Emmanuel. Either way, I win. I or E, I win. But the choir. Exciting me that everybody on that choir could almost be my kids. Almost everybody on there. I'm not going to name anybody, Bud, but almost everybody on there. See, that's what's exciting. Get these kids. Matter of fact, I got good news for you. I'm going to give you a great day. Matter of fact, it's awesome. I'll save you some money today. You got debt problems? I'll take care of the debt issue for you, too. If you hang around to work with Awanas, we'll feed you. How does that sound? Thanks to Norman Nancy's renewal, we got food to give you. We got a whole refrigerator worth of food. If you want to help with Awanas, hang around. We got the tables set up. They're going to serve you. I'm going to sit down and let Emily serve me. Is that okay? Emily's shaking her head no. Well, maybe Evie will do it. No. Who's going to serve me? I'm going to sit down. Somebody's got to serve me. Is that okay? No. All right. But I'm serious. We get comfortable. It's uncomfortable. It's not easy. We get comfortable with these things. And see, I want to challenge us. See, sometimes God afflicts the comfortable. See, maybe you're comfortable right now. But maybe God's kind of pushing you. Maybe there's something you need to do. It's been fun. Again, as Pastor Ernie does a great job getting ushers and enlisting ushers to take the offering and stuff. And I really enjoy as Ernie does that, because I've seen some of you pray that would have never prayed before. I don't know how Ernie gets you to do it. But I've watched Ernie recruit you guys and then say, hey, you want to do the prayer? Ernie's in the lobby. He can see me through the camera. Hi, Ernie. Thank you. Yeah. It's uncomfortable. I got to pray out loud in front of everybody. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Let me give you a little hint. I wouldn't worry about all these here. It's him that I'd be more concerned with. And you know, when it comes to praying, I'm going to preach on it a couple of weeks. You know, start next week, we're going to preach on it. It's not your flowery words that he wants to hear. It's your heart that he wants to hear. So whatever comes out of your mouth, that's in your heart. That's what he wants. Yeah. So I just want to challenge you. Are you comfortable? See, we even, you know, maybe you're like me before I became a Christian. You know, you're kind of sitting here and there's something about this God thing. It's just a little uncomfortable. Or maybe you're a Christian and, you know, we kind of settle into our routines and we kind of like the things the way they are. And we have some good sayings. If it's not broke, don't fix it. See, you know, we get into habits and routines. But I'm going to tell you, God's a God who does new things. Look at this scripture. I like this passage. For I'm about to do something new. Circle new. I want you to see new. New. What does new mean? New. New. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create a river in the dry wasteland. God wants to do something new. Matter of fact, this week, we're going to the gospel mission. Anybody want to go? Let Delmyra know. We're going to go have fun. We're going to meet here at 6:30, right? 6:45, right here in front of the church. We're going to go to the gospel mission. Just so you know, I get to go to the gospel mission, but I miss my home group and really good food. Yeah. I admit, Karen does a great job, and that I'm going to go to the gospel mission. I could eat there. Yeah. Maybe I eat their desserts. I've eaten their desserts. They have some good desserts. Yeah. I want to challenge you. God wants to do something new with you. If you're comfortable, have I made you uncomfortable? I hope so. I hope that kind of pushed you a little bit. Yeah. If you're comfortable, you know, I'm comfortable. I'm safe in God's hands, and God loves me, and God's walking with me, and yeah, I believe in the presence of God, and I'm comfortable. Don't rock my little boat. My life is good. I want to shake you up. I want to throw a rock in your lake. How's that? Yeah. What's nice about throwing a rock in your lake, you ever see that? You ever throw a rock in the lake and you see the circles go out? See, that's the influence you can have. Now, after the circles go out, guess what? It gets calm again. And then you got to throw another rock in. See, I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you this morning. If you're afflicted and you're hurting and life is just beat you up, God wants to comfort you. He's the Father of compassion, the Mother of comfort. He's there. If you've been comfortable and just kind of cruising along in life, thinking, it's okay, just I like the way it is, just don't mess my little world up, just kind of leave me alone, I want to shake you up. I'm going to push you around. We're getting ready to do our 40-day study, and our 40-day study is called Servolution. And it's a challenge for me because we're going to, guess who you're going to get to watch teach on video? Me! So you get to hear me preach, and you get to watch me teach. We're going to have fun with that. I don't know how it's going to go, but and it's going to be on serving. I'm going to be challenging you to serve. If you're comfortable, I'm going to challenge you to be a little uncomfortable, because that's what God wants. But the one thing I want you to know is God is with us. That God is with us. At the bottom of your page, I put it this way. God is with Gary. I was going to put Gary in yours, but I thought you might want to write your own. So I left it blank for you. But God is with Gary. I want to tell you, God is with you. Put your name there. Just, I want you to, that way you'll see it. I want you to see your name there. I want you to see God is with, put your name. Because when you see it, that's not just, well, yeah, I know it. Yeah, I believe it. See it in writing. God is with you. you need his comfort? Do you need to be afflicted? God is with us. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are the Father of compassion and the Mother of comfort. That you are a God who shakes us up when we get comfortable to greater, bigger, and different things. Thank you, God, for being Emmanuel, for being a God who is with us. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and maybe you're here this morning and life is just weighing on you. And it's just kind of, it's hurting right now. And you're just hurting. And you want to say, Gary, would you pray for me? Would you just shoot your hand up? Just shoot. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, there are many hands lifted that are hurting right now. Some are physical battles. Some are emotional battles. Some are even spiritual. I lift each of those hands and life's up to you. You are the Father of compassion. You love us so much you sent Jesus, your one and only Son, that we may have a personal relationship with you, that you promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And so, Lord, I ask you to set upon them with your Spirit in a special way this morning. Reassure them. Comfort them. Encourage them. Inspire them. Let your presence ring out in their heart and in their mind in the midst of the battles that they're involved in, wherever they are, whatever they are, because you are God. Pick them up. Raise them high. Hold them close to your heart because they are your children. Thank you, Jesus. Emmanuel. Amen.